Joining us now from NPR headquarters at the Republican National Convention in New York City is NPR political editor Ken Rudin. And good to have you back on the show, Ken.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Before we get to the events of last night, the opening night of the convention, we need to talk briefly about comments that President Bush made on the war on terrorism in the last couple of days, and we've got some tape to listen to. This first piece is from yesterday, NBC's Today program. Matt Lauer asked President Bush if he really thinks, quote, we can win the war on terror, for example, in the next 4 years, asked Lauer, can we win it?
I don't think you can win it, but I think you can create conditions so that those who use terror as a tool are less acceptable in parts of the world, let's put it that way.
And then earlier today, in a speech to the National Convention of the American Legion, President Bush said we're engaged in a war that was winnable.
We meet today at a time of war for our country, a war we did not start, yet one that we will win.
So, Ken Rudin, the president, clarifying his remarks from the day before?
He's a flip-flopper just like John Kerry, and everybody knows it. No, actually, what's happened, this could be one of those moments in the presidential campaign that could be significant, because the argument for George Bush's candidacy all along has been that he's resolute, that he's confident, and certainly confident on the war on terrorism. That has been his strongest argument, his strongest issue by far, certainly more so than the war in Iraq and the economy. And for him to seemingly waver on whether you win this war on terrorism has given the Democrats an opening and reminded me a little bit of the famous gaffe that President Ford made in 76 when he said Poland was actually a free nation during the 76 debates, and he spent the rest of the campaign explaining that remark. Now, it could go away, but it's something to watch, see if it has legs.
The White House said today saying, look, his remarks yesterday were overblown.
Well, actually, I do think it – I mean, I think what he meant – well, I mean, I can't speak for the president, of course, but I think what he meant was that the war on terror will go on. There will be terrorists, whether you get Osama bin Laden, whether you got Saddam Hussein, whether you get anybody, there will still be people out creating terrorist attacks. And as Rudy Giuliani said at the convention last night, I mean he traced the war on terrorism back to the Munich Olympics in 72. So it's not going to end with the capture of Osama. It's not going to end with the presidential election. It's not going to end with what's going on today. And I think I assume that's what the president meant. But again, it did undercut the confidence that he has shown on the campaign trail.
Well, the confidence they also tried to project in his leadership last night, as you mentioned, the speech by Senator John McCain, the Republican of Arizona. He praised President Bush's leadership in the days after September the 11th.
For his determination to undertake it and for his unflagging resolve to see it through to a just end, President Bush deserves not only our support, but our admiration. He has been tested and has risen to the most important challenge of our time, and I salute him. I salute his determination to make this world a better, safer, freer place. He has not wavered. He has not flinched from the hard choices. He will not yield, and neither will we.
That Senator John McCain speaking at the Republican convention last night. John McCain, Ken Rudin, a man who certainly had his differences with President Bush when he opposed him in the primaries 4 years ago, and disagrees with him on some important political issues. He says on the most important political issue, again, that war on terror, he stands four square.
That's right, and same with Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani will say that I oppose the president on the gay marriage amendments and things like guns and abortion. But on the response to 9/11, both McCain and Giuliani, both of whom who appeal to moderates and centrists and Democrats, both of whom who are respected in this fight in the war on terror, both of them support the president wholeheartedly on this issue.
Senator McCain, pointedly, I guess, did not attack his friend, John Kerry. That was not the case in many of the other speakers at the podium last night.
No, and McCain said he would not do that. He's a friend of John Kerry. He will never denigrate what John Kerry, his service in Vietnam. There was a very you alluded to people who were not so reticent. Certainly Rudy Giuliani was very critical and sarcastic about John Kerry, and they were actually giving out some people were giving out Purple Heart Band-Aids on the floor at the convention yesterday, mocking John Kerry's service in Vietnam and the three Purple Hearts he received. And, you know, I always thought that Republicans might have a case to make of what John Kerry did when he came back from Vietnam, whether, you know, he went too far with his anti-war testimony or his activities. But to denigrate what he did in Vietnam, I think the president has said that's the wrong thing to do. John McCain from the beginning has said that's the wrong thing to do. I'm surprised there are still some Republicans who still insist on doing that tactic.
We mentioned Rudy Giuliani and his sometimes sarcastic attacks on the Democratic ticket. Let's hear an excerpt from his speech. Here's former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani.
Maybe this explains John Edwards' need for two Americans. One when John Kerry can vote for something, and another one where he can vote against exactly the same thing.
That Rudy Giuliani talking about Kerry trying to explain how he could vote for and against money to support U.S. troops in Iraq.
That's right. Every time Kerry's name was mentioned, certainly by Giuliani, the crowd was yelling flip-flop, flip-flop. And I didn't know if they were going to the beach and getting prepared to dress up for the beach, or they were talking about his career and voting record. It's interesting. And Republicans continue to say that this is why John Kerry will not talk about his 20 years in the Senate. They'll talk about his 4 months in Vietnam, because he has a 20-year record of flip-flopping. Having said that, that's why I'm wondering whether President Bush's comments yesterday on the Today Show could prove to be very damaging, because, again, the Democrats can accuse Bush exactly of what the president is accusing the Democrats of.
Well, putting it in the context of an earlier Bush administration, this is a kinder and gentler side of the Republican Party that's on display at Madison Square Garden. Tonight, we see the current governor of California, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, and the First Lady.
That's right. And again, Laura Bush, all the polls will show that, you know, she is not only Hillary Clinton and she's not Teresa Hines Kerry, she's not Angela Lansbury. She's not somebody who's going to be that Manchurian candidate woman. She is the person who many voters feel very comfortable with, and her poll numbers show her much more popular than the president. But having said that, one wonders what difference that really makes in the long run. Remember in 1976, everybody loved Betty Ford. She was controversial. She was outspoken and certainly more popular than her husband, and the Ford campaign lost. Nancy Reagan was demonized in the 84 campaign, and Ronald Reagan won 49 states. So I'm not saying that the choice, what the First Lady has to say, it will be that significant in the long run. But again, in a convention that you want to have a little kinder, gentler image than some Republicans have been giving, certainly on Capitol Hill, having Arnold Schwarzenegger, having Laura Bush, that certainly can't hurt.
Ken Rudin joining us from the Republican National Convention in New York. He'll be with us all this week. Ken, good to talk with you.
Thanks a lot, Neil.
Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor and writes the Political Junkie column, which you can read by going to npr.org. Right now, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. As we heard, the atmosphere inside Madison Square Garden was mostly one of cheer last night. The speeches of Senator McCain and former Mayor Giuliani brought the crowd of Republican delegates to their feet with chants of 4 more years. Of course, not everyone in the city is happy about the convention. Among them, The Daily Show's Lewis Black. Then again, few things make him happy. Lewis, welcome back to Talk of the Nation.
My pleasure.
When we spoke with you last, you were in Boston at the Democratic National Convention. You told us when the delegates came to your city, New York, we'd really see you snapping. Has it been that bad?
Yeah. I don't think people quite understand, if you don't live in New York, haven't been in New York. You've got to, I pondered the leadership of the Democratic Party that would pick Boston, where there's a huge dig that really makes the whole place look like, Lebanon in the 80s. And here they have set up their convention in Madison Square Garden, which is fine, except that it's right next to Penn Station, right literally next to, above it. Penn Station is where the trains come in from Jersey and the Amtrak trains run. And then below that is the Long Island Railroad trains that run. And then you stack under that the subways. And hello, you've got, thousands of people who are coming in with packages. I mean, you have to be almost lunatic to have decided this is where we're going to have it. It's beyond belief. Around it is, what price is freedom? It's cops and cops and more cops and more cops and submachine guns and the National Guard and more cops and those barricades everywhere. It's such a pleasant sight. Not since I went to Franco's Spain and arrived at the train stations there and watched the Civil Guardia wander around with guns. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, have you gone over to Madison Square Garden through all those layers of security yet?
I can't get in. They told me I'd have to talk to the Secret Service, Neil, and do you think they're going to talk to me?
No, I don't.
You know, so it's not happening.
You were less, when we talked about the Democratic National Convention, we played some clips of some of the speakers at the convention there in Boston, exercising what passes for political wit these days. Have you heard any good jokes from the Republicans yet?
No, nothing. Nothing is nothing. I haven't heard a thing. I think their biggest joke is that they've got Arnold Schwarzenegger speaking. I mean, he's been in office 6 months, and, look. Arnold Schwarzenegger is speaking at the Republican convention, and we're not on acid? That's beyond belief. That headline is, why would anybody do drugs with a headline like that? It's beyond belief. I mean, what has happened to us? It's the Terminator.
No one who has not lived for some period in the city of New York, I think, could quite understand the venom with which most New Yorkers treat politicians. It's well known that nobody in the city of New York has ever voted for a politician, but a lot of people vote against somebody.
Exactly.
In that matter, you have, two of the most famous mayors of all time in the city of New York, Rudolph Giuliani and Ed Koch, appearing at the Republican convention.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, Ed is 112, and... I don't know if Ed knew where he was, and Rudy's. I'm just wondering because I haven't been able to. I've been interviewed so much today that I have not been able. But this statement that he made that the nation owes it to the victims to reelect Bush. Am I the only one who finds that almost beyond appalling? Is there been a reaction? Are people not, like, find that a very disturbing statement to be made? To use that carnage as a reason? And to use those people, you know, and the families of those people? Am I just completely out of step?
You mentioned that you've been interviewed quite a bit this time around, I guess. Certainly, we did that in Boston. We're doing it again today. Your colleague, Jon Stewart, on The Daily Show has been all over the place being interviewed by a whole bunch of people. Yet, last week, I think it was, John Kerry appeared on the program. The first time since the convention, he's graced any program, news or non-news or fake news, with his presence. What's going on here?
I think it's just it's a part of the unraveling of the American fabric. I mean, you know why he's on the show. It's that kind of appeal to youth and that sense of I'm hip, and that's the reason for that. Why I'm kind of like since I finally have understood my role in all of this, which is that I get interviewed. I think because it's hour upon hour of discussing what this all means, and then I come in as the comic relief. And it's been good, because this time they don't put me on a panel with pundits, because that just gives me agita.
Well, wouldn't you like being up there with Michael Moore what's her name, Coulter?
No. Oh, God. I've been on a show with Ann Coulter, and I developed hives during the discussion. She's beyond belief. I don't know where... I feel like I'm living in a parallel universe sometimes.
It's called Comedy Central, the parallel universe.
It is.
Lewis Black, thanks very much for being with us, and continue talking, will you?
Oh, no problem. Thanks a lot.
Lewis Black is a stand-up comic, a contributor to Comedy Central's The Daily Show, and he joined us by phone from his home in New York City. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.